In 2014, in Bunkerville, Nevada, Cliven Bundy and his family had their cattle rounded up by the federal government over a matter of unpaid grazing fees. To hear them tell it, what they did next was gather a posse and take those cows back at gunpoint.
Heavily armed, they forced dozens of federal agents to stand down.
They'd really like to be seen as cowboys.
The West has now been won!
I'm Leah Sottile, and for the last 2 years, I've been reporting on the Bundy family, trying to figure out what they're doing to the American West. If this is about cows, why did they turn around and take over a national wildlife refuge in Oregon?
I am 100% willing to lay my life down to fight against tyranny.
Leah Sottile is a resident of Portland, but she used to work as a writer for The Inlander here in Spokane. Now working as a freelance writer, Sottile has contributed articles to The Washington Post and Rolling Stone magazine. Now she's teamed up with Oregon Public Broadcasting to produce a multi-part podcast called Bundyville. The production looks at the family of Cliven Bundy and his sons Ryan and Ammon, the armed uprisings they've inspired, and the fight over the future of the American West. For starters, Sottile looked into the history of the family who'd settled on land in Nevada in the 1890s. Cliven Bundy has been making the argument that he does not owe any grazing fees to the federal government because the Nevada land he operates on has been in the family for years. But Sottile says her research indicated that's not true.
So I just wanted to see, like, was there any merit to that at all? So I went as far back as I could into the family history. I read a couple of books written by his ancestors about some of the early settlers in the Bunkerville area, just trying to unpack if there was any merit to that idea that land belonged to him, and I couldn't find any really clear, straight connection.
Sottile says when federal officials fined the senior Bundy for not having grazing permits in 2014, some of his cattle were found so far away from his ranch on federal land that they had gone feral. The production looks at those who have become followers of the Bundy family. Sottile says anti-government sentiments have been building in the West for years, and for many, the Bundy's revolution came at the right time. She says for some, the Bundy's influence led to a complete transformation. She cites the example of Lavoie Finicum, the man shot down by the FBI during the standoff at the Malheur Wildlife Reserve in Oregon. She says BLM officials said Finicum had been a model rancher who had always paid his grazing fees.
And then he went to Bundy Ranch, and it was like he radicalized there in 2014 and decided to toss out his grazing contract and started making YouTube videos about his own personal fight with the federal government. But, you know, you talk to reporters, even some of the reporters at OPB, about their interviews with Finicum at the refuge in Oregon. And they talked about him like he was just the nicest, easiest, most approachable person to talk to, which is a very different person than you see on the footage from his shooting by police. You see someone, you know, yelling at them, saying, shoot me in the head or let me go through. I think it was a prime example of how people who might already have a little bit of a distrust of the government might see truth in the Bundy. They can find a truth in the Bundy story that they want to believe. And I think that's what happened with Lavoie Finicum.
Sottile says the failure to convict the Bundys for the Malheur standoff, coupled with the declaration of a mistrial for the Nevada Ranch standoff, has given some more credibility to their story.
With the mistrial happening in Nevada, I think it gives the government a bit of an issue because this idea that they tell the world about, that the Bundys are domestic terrorists, it kind of calls that into question when the people saying that are actually hiding evidence and things like that. So I think that, you know, had the Bundys been found guilty, it would just be over and done with.
Sottile worked with an OPB producer to put together the story and had access to OPB's sound from reporters covering the Malheur takeover. The stories are being published on the website Long Reads, which archives journalism efforts from a number of sources. The 7-part podcast series will be released Tuesday, May 15th. You can subscribe to Bundyville on NPR One, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. I'm Steve Jackson reporting.